Good morning and welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. Did you miss us? I know that you did, but we are glad to be back with you for some fun and for some sermon recap. I'm here with Josh and with Adam as well, and we are going to check in with each other. So guys, tell me what has been going on in the last couple of weeks that's been good and been fun.
It's hot.
That's true.
It is a little sweltery.
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 Word sweltery? That is just made up, I think.
Sweltery?
Sweltery sounds
never
a little
heard
bit more
sweltery?
Like poultry.
You've never heard the word sweltery?
Well, I've heard it's like of sweltering.
Sweltering,
but,
sweltering heat?
Yeah, sweltering is a word, but sweltery, I don't know about that.
Oh, come on. Of course it is.
Is there like the adverb version of this word?
All you got to do is add an L-Y to it.
All right. There you go.
We've been
concede.
We've been potty training in our house the new puppy. So
okay, well, at least it's
yeah,
new puppy.
As soon as you said that, I was like,
my first thought
was, I was like, dude, I thought all of your kids are well beyond that point, right?
Yep.
So new puppy potty.
Yeah,
training.
He's been doing well. He's been doing well.
Good.
So, yeah.
How many times have you had to clean up?
Not much. Maybe I don't know, 5 or 6.
And you've had him for now like
a couple weeks.
So
most of them were in the first several days before, you know, getting used to it. So,
right.
Yeah, he's good.
That's good. Has he grown at all since you've gotten him? Because he's
sure
German Shepherd, right? So,
yeah, so he's going to be 90 or 100, probably around that. I'm sure he has. I haven't noticed it yet.
Okay.
But it's only been 2 weeks. So,
very good.
How much does he weigh now?
I don't know. Sasha took him to the vet earlier this week, and I can't remember. It was like 27, 23.
So this is like breaking news on the podcast for the podcast listeners, right?
Well, we announced
that you were getting it.
Yeah, but so Turk is with us now, and
that's awesome.
New German Shepherd puppy. He's fun.
That's great.
There you go. That's your world. Training a puppy not to urinate on the floor. So it's good.
Yeah, because it's the urine that's the problem.
Yeah, no, it's just all of it.
No.
Well, the smell, you go back to it and remark the spot. And
yeah.
We have urine destroyer.
Yeah.
Whatever that brand is of, so.
Yeah.
It's called brand. Urine destroyer,
that's the name brand?
Well, it's a type of cleanup spray.
Okay.
It's like so today's Thursday, so it should be coming in tomorrow. We had to invest in a carpet cleaner. Just because of the puppy, and you know, you do your best to find where they just are really good at being sneaky.
Yeah,
yep.
And in carpet, you don't really notice
carpet,
it unless you step
notice
in
it. Unless you step in it, and so it's just like, you know, we just need to, because Moose, AJ's dog, is pretty much done at least peeing in the house, and so get a carpet cleaner and just kind of get it, you know, just kind of cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's fun stuff, man.
Yep.
Dogs
are
go.
Great. Dogs are great. Beach was great. Double red flag the entire time we were there.
That's wild.
Yeah. Karn sent me a text the other day that so far in 2023, I mean, this is a downer, but Panama City Beach is the deadliest beach in America right now.
Really?
Yeah. There was a drowning while we were there. Mm-hmm. There was almost another one. And
I heard about a boat that tipped over and a couple of people died down around the same time that you guys were there.
Yeah. So it was crazy. I guess a tropical storm went through. I didn't realize that. Which makes sense why there was so much rain
double
up
red
here.
Flags.
Double red flags.
I saw some pictures, just like some sky view pictures that people were posting after the storm had gone away of like the beach and coastline, and just like all of the, you could see all of the riptides.
Oh, it was
nuts. Gnarly looking.
I mean, we don't get in the water. I mean, because we're over 40, and so we don't do that. But yeah, it was something. It really, really was.
So what'd you guys do?
We would just sit on the beach. I sat underneath the tent and read books, and Jennifer sat on the shoreline and just kept her feet in the water. And then we went and played golf one day. Great time on that. It was, our tee time was like at 4 o'clock. And I was like, man, it's either going to be like really hot or it's going to be raining or something like that. It was perfect. It was like overcast.
Well,
it's like 80 degrees.
Yeah.
I only hit one house. It was amazing.
Nice.
It was unfortunately the biggest house on the
look, man. Course. They have a house on a golf course.
Exactly.
They should know.
Yeah.
They should
and nothing, just so the listeners know, nothing shattered. I just heard a thunk.
Yeah. It's just in solid wood.
Yeah. So it's probably the roof.
It's fine.
The roof would be fine.
Yeah. It's fine.
Did you guys say roof or roof?
Roof.
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 Yeah.
Is that correct?
I don't know.
Yeah. Eggs or
roof,
eggs?
Roof.
Eggs. Eggs.
Okay. Milk or milk?
Milk.
Yeah.
An I, not an E. Yeah.
Water or water?
Water.
Okay.
Wash.
Yeah.
Not
wash or wash.
Yeah.
Walmart or Walmarts?
Walmart. An S at the end of Walmart?
You've never heard that?
Dude, you no, were, how long did you go to? You were at Ozark for like four plus years, right?
I was in Joplin for 4 years.
Yeah. You never heard anybody call it Walmarts?
No.
Oh,
not a single
man.
Person.
Yeah.
Walmarts.
Yeah. Maybe they grew out of it.
Is it like why do people do that?
They just do.
They just do. Like it's just yeah. one of those things. Walmart, so, historically, thing people... Walmart didn't used to be known as Walmarts.
No,
okay.
No. So it's like, what's the steakhouse that's up in Monroe?
Oh, Longhorn Steakhouse.
Right. Yeah.
Correct.
It's not Longhorns.
It's not Longhorns, but I know people do that one.
Exactly.
Or
go to Longhorns.
Ruby.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Yep. No S.
No Tuesdays.
Yeah. I like to switch it. So I say I'm going to McDonald.
McDonald.
I'm going to Wendy. Yep. Take the S off.
That's good.
Luke, what about you, man?
Man, lots of good stuff. I'm in the middle of our, kind of CIY season. So last week we were out, at Lee University with, the middle school students. It was a really great week and a really fun week. And then as you guys are listening now, I'll be there again with the high school students. And so lots of really cool things happening. The Lord's up to some really cool stuff in the lives of the next generation. That's and, great. We're laughing and smiling along the way.
Yeah. Rafting.
And rafting.
Laughing,
yes.
Laughing and smiling
laughing
and rafting.
Rafting.
The more and more that I do camps, the more and more that I'm having to remind myself that I'm not 18 anymore. because we were playing with the middle school students. We were playing racquetball. We were playing like in the racquetball room with the racquetball, but we were playing wall ball. So like no rackets, just like wall ball, throw it against the wall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you touch it and drop it, you got to touch the wall.
Yep.
Well, I was playing, and one of the adult leaders and I and a little seventh grader were still in the game. It was down to the three of us, and it was just like going on and on and on. We couldn't get each other out, and there was finally an opportunity for me to get the other adult leader out, but the ball was like zooming towards the wall. And I did not have time, and he was running because he dropped it. He was running to touch. I did not have time to chase down the ball, pick it up, throw it at the wall before he had touched.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, well, I'm just going to dive for the ball and just like slap it up against the wall because it's really close. Like I'm just going to dive and slap it against the wall. It's going to work.
It's not going to work.
So the ball hit the wall, but so did the back of my head full speed diving. And so that one was I was like, oh, yeah. I can't do the things that I used to be able to do as much anymore. But all fun stuff at the CIYs. And, yeah, looking forward to this next week.
Yeah, otherwise known as a youth minister's vacation, right?
No.
No. So we got two former youth ministers here, current youth minister. That was always the thing that's just like, oh, so you got to go on vacation. It's like, oh, yeah, of course. Everybody works 24 hours a day on their vacation.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly how
no,
it
I know,
works.
Like, I know someone in youth ministry who, whenever he got out of college, he was at a church and he did 2 weeks of camp. And then after the summer, he goes up to the church leadership and he's like, hey, I'm looking at my calendar and want to confirm that with y'all that like, hey, later in September, would that be a good week for me to like step away for a little bit for vacation? And they're like, you went on vacation.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
You already did. They like, they were under the impression that that was the way that his vacation would work. He's not at that church anymore.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt it. I'm great. Neither of the churches that I've served in ever viewed it like that.
Yeah,
they were all like, dude, you need to take time off after you get back.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
It is a hyper awareness for an entire week.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with emotional teenagers and camp boyfriend and girlfriends and breakups that take place within 24 hours that they were already going to get married. They already had their kids.
Yeah.
They already had their kid's name. It's from some other youth group that's like from Alaska. It's like, I met her and she's the one, man. She's the one. It's like, dude, you're never going to see her again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun stuff.
I don't know that I deal with it that much.
That's why you got your youth coaches there.
Yeah. It's a good time. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
No.
It's a couple of my favorite weeks out of the year.
Really is. And more happens in those 2 weeks. And I don't know if every listener understands this, but more happens in those 2 weeks in youth ministry than the other 50 weeks of the year.
Yeah. And that's, I tell my team this all the time, my small group leaders, you know, the ask that I make of them every single year is, hey, you're going to be a small group leader for these students for the long haul. Like
I'm not just talking like a 1 year commitment. I'm talking like,
yeah,
I want you to walk with them for years and years and years. And that includes the school year, but also set aside the week of the summer, because what that means is the 51 weeks that a small group leader is establishing trust and developing a relationship with a student, all of a sudden, the fruit from that is really seen in the environment of a CIY or a church camp 100%. Or conference. And so there's just been some really big wins from small group leaders who have said, yeah, I'm going to do this. And man, it's just it's a blessing to be a part of something like that.
So welcome to the Corinth in Your Car Youth Ministry podcast, episode. Yeah.
And dude, that'd be fun.
And for them, it is their vacation. They actually have to take off work.
Right. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So it's a huge sacrifice.
It's a huge sacrifice.
I always said thank you to them so much. One year I had fun, and because I was just so thankful for them. Like, you guys are superheroes. So I bought them all Pez dispensers that were superheroes and gave them Pez to refill it all week long. So they had their superhero Pez dispenser to remind them that they were superheroes.
Here's the real question, though. Is Pez actually good?
No.
I mean, no.
But the Pez dispensers are fun.
But it was a fun little way to treat them and just say, hey, guys, thank you so much. Cool. Because you are the heroes here.
I thought you were going to say you gave them capes. That's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah. I bought them
coffee. Not all superheroes wear capes.
I bought them coffee and Pez. That's what I did.
Capes and a mask.
An eye mask so they can go take a nap.
That's exactly.
I love it. All right, let's move on and jump into our sermon from yesterday. It was Daniel in the Lion's Den from our sermon series called Retold: Sunday School Stories You Thought You Knew. Josh, jump in and go ahead and give us a quick recap of what you did with the sermon yesterday.
Sure, yeah. Like you said, it's one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible. Daniel in the Lion's Den. Basically, the quick version is there's a new king on the throne, a new power. It's Persia instead of Babylon. King Darius, or Darius, however you want to pronounce that, is the new king. He's tricked by his other advisors, and then Daniel is caught in this web. He continues to pray to his God, and the trick was if anybody prays to anybody else except the king, then they're thrown in the lion's den. So he's stuck because the laws of the land couldn't be changed, but God saved him because God is above any law and power. And it's another Christophany, I think. Not all scholars agree that it's actually Jesus in the lion's den, but the word for angel there, if you look at the other times in the Old Testament that it's used, a lot of them do refer to Jesus as a pre-incarnate Christ showing up. So kind of a cool thing. He's delivered. And once again, just seen as he always has been throughout this whole book as just a man of character and quality. So
yeah, love it. Adam, as you're thinking through what is going to be preached, talk to me a little bit about what you see as helpful or encouraging or challenging or insightful.
I think that as you read through this, it's the entire book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. But the thing that to me that always just stands out about him is his, so here you go. You guys ready? His character, his competency, and his capacity.
There you go.
Boom.
Three C's.
Josh, are you now going to change your outline for Sunday?
No, I mean, he's obviously a man of great character.
Yeah.
And Josh did a great job of just laying that out with the integrity and those things. But he's obviously a guy that's got great capacity because he keeps getting added onto by the leaders. Like, I love the fact that he's, what is he? Is he 80 years old at this point in the story?
He's at least 80.
So he's at least 80, side note, which is why it annoys me whenever I see these coloring sheets and flannel graph, and it's like this little boy this is like an old guy.
With the super cartoon lions.
Yeah.
Like, so like orange looking.
Yeah.
So this didn't make it into the sermon just because it would be too hard to get there and just not really on point. But I had this funny thought, like, Daniel having to ride down an automated chair down into the lion's den because he was so old.
hilarious.
Let's lower you down there because you're 80, man. And in those days, like,
yeah,
I mean, 80 today is a lot different than maybe 80 back then.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And he's kneeling consistently. And I think, man, 80-year-old knees kneeling all the time. So anyway.
No knee replacement surgeries.
Yeah. But so he's got incredible capacity. He's obviously very, very competent as well. And, you know, if you throw in a fourth C there of the culture, is that he refused to allow himself to be shaped by the culture around him.
Right.
And so Daniel is just one of those guys that as you read through it, he is kind of a, would it be weird to just like call him almost like superhero kind of thing? I mean, it's just
no,
like,
because there's nothing bad said about him.
Like, correct. Him and I mean, Joseph, like you can at least go kind of an arrogant,
prideful,
a little prideful. But Daniel's like a guy that you really can't find, at least in this story.
Can't find anything.
You can't find anything to just be like, yeah, that guy.
Dude's the worst.
Yeah.
And yet his prayer in chapter 9, which wasn't the sermon, it was chapter 6, was the lion's den. But chapter 9, he prays this prayer. And he just repents like crazy, like, God, I have sinned and our nation has sinned and we deserve this exile. Mm-hmm. And so you're holy because you sent us here.
Yeah.
But man, please forgive us. Yes. So clearly he was a sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So love those things.
Yeah. So that whenever I think of Daniel, that's just what always just kind of, and then, I mean, it's not from the sermon, but I mean, the book of Daniel, is it chapter 9? That's like the weirdest chapter in the Bible.
There's some weird stuff in Daniel.
Well, so the first half is
which is like that last
prayer,
like narrative.
But then the second half is like 77s, and it gets into some of the stuff that people.
Then chapter 10 is the big Son of Man chapter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe I'm thinking of chapter 10 more off top. Yeah, there's some weird stuff in there, man.
Yeah, Daniel. A lot of people. Daniel is like the last half of Daniel in that little area. It's probably more complicated and confusing than the book of Revelation.
Oh, 100%. Well, and I remember something Josh's dad would always say in interpretation class, that if you want to understand Revelation, you have to understand Daniel.
Daniel, yep. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yep. Because Revelation makes note of Babylon all of the time.
Yep.
Daniel is writing in the context
of
Babylon.
So I was just having this conversation Sunday, really, with somebody else, talking about just end time stuff and it's like, hey, here's the deal with end times. Like, I have stopped trying to figure all the things out that Jesus said he didn't know.
Yeah.
And also, here's Revelation in two words: Jesus wins.
Yep.
And so we just get off track a lot of times.
Yeah, and we're way off track now, but the book of Revelation was not written by John as a description of the way in which the world would end. And
the way the world is.
It was a letter of hope. Mm-hmm. To the churches who were experiencing persecution.
Yeah.
And so you've got to look at it that way. But anyways, we digress. I thought it was super cool that this story came on the tail end of what was preached the week before, also by you, Josh. And just thinking through kind of some of the similarities between those stories is you got Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, because I refuse to call them by their cheap Babylonian names.
Well, then call them by their VeggieTale names.
Okay, Rakshak and Benny. So I think it's so cool. You've got that story where those three guys refuse to go according to culture. They're not seduced by the things at play, and they face a punishment for it, and it's to be thrown into something.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, you have a Christophany, and then the king is just super ecstatic and pumped, and there's some repentance, and no one is like the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Mm-hmm. And then you get this story of Daniel, who is good buddies with the three of those, and again, refusing to go against culture, or refusing to go with culture, does the things that he needs to do to continue to be faithful to the Lord, receives the punishment for it, and is thrown into something. Potentially, whether or not you're a scholar that says it or not, potentially another Christophany, and then is delivered out, and the king is like, no one is like this God. Like, it's just, I think that it's just so cool to take those stories together and just recognize what's going on. We can have the strength to stand, and we can have the strength to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you didn't like put the numbers together, reading the book of Daniel, you might be confused, like, Didn't God just show up and miraculously save these guys from the furnace? How in the world is Darius? How is he so forgetful? But it's like it's 65 years later,
and a different king,
and well, several kings later.
Yeah.
By the way, you counted, it's at least two, maybe three kings later, and a different empire. It's Persia, not Babylon.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's totally different.
Yeah, I love it. Cool. Just a couple questions I've jotted down as we kind of think through the story a little bit more. Just what are some of your favorite details about this story, whether they're textual or historical or just some of your own observations as you've gone through and learned and studied and heard this story again and again and again?
Already mentioned it, but I love the fact that he's 80. Like, my wife and I are going to see the new Indiana Jones tomorrow night. All right.
Ooh, let's go.
Dial of Destiny. And I just couldn't help but think,
yeah,
Harrison Ford is 80 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, wonder if Harrison Ford's like Daniel. I don't know.
So Daniel would have been, we think, like a teenager whenever he was put into the Babylonian Empire. So what was Harrison Ford doing when he was 16?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, what was his first movie?
It would have been 1958. I mean, he didn't start doing movies for a while.
For a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, 65 years ago was 1958. And it's funny, you know, we're going Monday to my father-in-law's 65th surprise party.
Okay.
So we have all these things like, what was going on in 1958? And it's just funny that it was actually the same length of time ago.
Yeah, that's fun.
So that's fun. And I just absolutely love these. There's three overseers, of which Daniel is one. And then 120, once again, satrap, however you pronounce that.
Yeah.
Under them, there's like regional rulers. And they can't find anything. In fact, they say, we can't find anything except in matters of his religion. And I just think that's super awesome.
Yeah.
It's like a dream of mine that
you
couldn't dig up any dirt.
They didn't find any tweet from him whenever he was 13 years old that was insensitive or anything like that. Nothing. Not a strike against him.
Yep.
So, Adam, what about you, man? What are some of your favorite details about the story as you kind of think through it?
I think one of the things to me is, I love that it's the edict comes out, no prayers to any other gods and all those other kind of things. And like Daniel immediately just like, yeah, I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, so my grandpa Gibson, whenever he had his like 80-year-old checkup. So he ended up dying at 83.
Okay.
I think it was 83. But anyway. He went in to see the doctor, and the doctor looked at all of his blood work and all those other kind of things and said, Chester, things look pretty good. Here's what you need to do, though. You got to quit eating white bread and no more dessert. And he looked at the doctor and said, I'm 80 years old. I'm eating what I want. Yeah. And so it's like, I'm too old for this.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And that's how I see Daniel. It's just kind of like, yeah, I'm too old. I've been faithful. I am not going to stop being faithful now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still going three times a day. I'm going to open my window. You guys can see exactly what I'm doing. And the other thing I love about it is that the satraps, sartaps, whatever the Klingons, they knew that the way to get Daniel was to say, was to do an edict against his god. Because they knew because of his character. They knew because of everything there. It's like, he's not going to go along with this.
Yeah.
And they trick him. They show up and say, hey, we all agreed.
Yeah.
And they conveniently leave him out.
Right.
Correct. He's not there.
Yeah. And
he didn't get invited.
Yeah. He didn't get invited. You know, once again, he's 80. I'm assuming he's older than these young kids. I'm assuming.
Him too. Yeah.
You know, they're probably, you know, late 30s, 40s, you know, kind of thing. And so they're embarrassed because he's outworking them, outproducing them. And so, like, we got to get rid of this guy. How can we do that? Well, we know the one thing that he'll never do is go against his god. So let's do that.
Yep.
Let's just create a law that's going to just automatically make him guilty.
Yeah.
So it's like, we know Turner's never not going to speed. So let's just, we'll make it an edict here, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing to me.
Yeah, I love that. Let me ask this kind of additional question, and it might be some hinting at some of what you guys have already said, but of course, with this series, just all of the Sunday school stories revisited, we're hitting at a lot of popular ones, right? And so, of all of the ones that we're doing, I would say, I don't know, and David and Goliath was probably the most popular.
Probably
Daniel and the Lion's Den might be the second most popular.
Of the ones we're doing, that's probably fair.
Yeah, I don't know. This is maybe. It's definitely, if you go the coloring sheet route, it's definitely the easiest coloring sheet to make.
Yeah, because, you know, so we've done Gideon, we did Moses and the Burning Bush, David and Goliath, we did the furnace with Rorschach and Benny.
Yep.
Daniel and the Lion's Den, doing Zacchaeus.
Yep.
Doing the man on the roof, the paralytic.
Okay.
Being let down through. You're doing the feeding of the 5,000. And then the last one's going to be Paul and Silas in prison. So I would say, of these, for sure.
Yeah.
Of these nine.
Of these ones, yeah. No doubt. So So because of that, it's so popular, and we've heard it again and again and again. What might we miss whenever we think about the Daniel and the Lion's Den story? Because, and I'll throw this word out there, because of how romanticized it can be sometimes.
Sure. I think a natural danger, kind of like we talked about a few weeks ago with David and Goliath, is if I copy David exactly, or if I copy Daniel exactly, then God will rescue me from the den, or from the furnace, or from the giant. And once again, I think it's the same reminder, just that our definition of rescue needs to change. Because the boys last week were safe before they ever hit the flames. Mm-hmm. Whether they died or not, they said, you know, burn us up, because our God, maybe he won't. Maybe we think he will, but maybe he won't. Yeah. And same thing with Daniel. Like, he didn't know God would save him from the den. He was just going to be faithful to God no matter what. And so I think just changing the definition of what it means to be saved or rescued. And because of that, like, we sometimes miss that Daniel, the story of Daniel, is pointing to another cave with a stone rolled over it where Jesus went into,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was sealed by the Romans and
Babylon
2.0. Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't know this until this week. Psalm 22 talks about just God's judgment being poured out. It's a messianic psalm that points towards Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
It starts out even with the words Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But part of that psalm talks about ravenous lions, and it's just this picture of God's judgment. And there was our Messiah who went into the den and experienced the lions for us. So,
yeah, that's a really cool connection to Psalm 22 for sure. Josh, I will make quick note of this. I loved the way that you told the story in this sermon. Of course, we're recording on Thursday, so I haven't heard it, but I've read just the monologue, and I think it's so cool. It's going to be super fun to hear the story just recapped and told from the perspective of one of those satraps.
I think that's fun. I got to get my drama.
Are you
going
to come in costume?
I don't think so.
No. Have you ever done that before? Told a Bible story, like
costume.
Not in costume, but just like in a narrative from the perspective of like a bystander or something like that.
I've heard it done. I can't remember if I've done it or not.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I think I don't remember who it was, but in preaching class at homiletics, we were shown one that was done from like a character in Esther.
Harbona. I remember that one.
Have you seen that one?
Showed that one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That predates me.
It may have been.
Or postdates
me. It may have been Craddock that did it.
It probably was. Yeah. It had been Craddock who did a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. It was a great take, because that name comes up two or three times in Esther, right? But you wouldn't really make any note of it. But he was like, hey, that servant was there.
Yeah. Saw it all.
Yep.
Yep. That's cool. So I just love that. I thought that was
at least Fred Craddock didn't do it as he was Esther.
We talked about that in the teen room last night.
There we go.
And it was a really, really good and productive conversation. So now I'm sidetracked. You asked two questions coming out of that kind of monologue narrative. The questions are, who is Daniel's God and who is Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
You said that Daniel's God, through the book of Daniel, was so far a revealer of dreams, a companion in hardship, and a sovereign over it all. I just have kind of the story question here for you guys. How have you seen either one of those play out in your own life as you've been faithful to God over the course of your years?
All right, I'll take it first. God certainly speaks through actual dreams all over the world to people. I don't think I've ever experienced one of those specific dreams, but part of the dreams he was revealing to Daniel was just he was the God above the mystery. He was the God showing that he could solve problems and things like that. And so he could do what no one else could do. So I've seen several things in my life that just couldn't be coincidence. Like something happened, and the timing of it, and I heard this and saw this. And so things like that kind of got me thinking on the dreams. Obviously so many hardships that God has been there for you, whether it's a word from the scriptures, a comment, a prayer from a friend, something like that. And then just sovereign over it all. I mean, once again, the longer I live, I'm 37, so I'm not super 80. Young. I'm not super old, but God, I've seen his sovereignty. Like, he's in control. We tend to think, what are you doing? And then you live a little bit longer and you see, oh, that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think for me, just picking on one of those just quickly, I think that the companion in hardship is probably the one that resonates most personally with me. And because, like, I can look back over seasons of my life to where things were difficult, they weren't good. Things just feel like they are out of your control. They don't feel like it. And that it was through those seasons that I felt closer to God than I do sometimes in the lack of hardship mm-hmm. seasons. And so I think that's why the idea of whenever it comes to hardship, I just think of a great reminder is, like, you just don't want to curse the blessing mm-hmm. Because in many ways the hardship is a blessing.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird and it doesn't feel like a blessing in the midst of it. But looking backwards, sometimes you just go, man alive, my relationship with Christ was just like, holy cow, during that time. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one there. You know, you talk about the dreams and stuff. I think of Ephesians 3:20, and I always butcher this, but, you know, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we mm-hmm. can dare to dream mm-hmm. or imagine. And I think that whenever you think of, like, what is it that God wants to do, you know, one of the things in our lives, in our church, in our families, like, one of the things that I try to remind myself is, don't insult God with small dreams.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
And so it's like, oh no, we need to be dreaming big things, because he's able to do immeasurably more. He did that in Daniel's life. I don't think that whenever Daniel went into the lion's den, that he was just like,
yeah.
He was probably thinking, well, this might be it.
Yeah.
And God did immeasurably more.
Right.
And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that. As you're speaking on that first point there, it reminded me of Romans chapter 5. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that mm-hmm. suffering produces perseverance, yep. perseverance, character, and character, hope.
Yep.
And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit
yep.
whom he has given us, right? So there is this point for Christian is like, yeah, I mean, hardship will come, but there might be a point to where in the midst of or beyond the hardship, I'll look back and be like, man, I'm really grateful for that season.
Yeah, I mean, this just occurred to me with listening to read that. I mean, Daniel's been in captivity for 65 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair to say that's suffering and hardship.
Yeah.
And he endured that. And what did it produce in him?
Character
and hope.
Yep.
And so he is the embodiment of that.
Yeah. I love that. Especially the hope piece. And we can talk about this real quick is I love this connection that you made. You know, you mentioned it kind of briefly in the sermon, but you've talked about it with me a little bit, the Jeremiah chapter 29 connection.
Yeah.
For Daniel, talk to us a little bit about that, because that really does become hope for him and really aids a lot of his prayers.
So Jeremiah wrote a letter to the captives years before and said, you're going to be 70 years in Babylon. Daniel finds it. Mm-hmm. And before it's ever attributed as actual scripture, he calls it scripture. Like, he sees that it's mm-hmm. this is inspired by God. And he starts doing some math, and there was different deportations of people, all right? So not everyone came at once, but Daniel was one of the first to come, I think like 603 BC-ish, something like that. And it's 539-ish. So you're talking 65 years, and he's like, hey, if I reckon this 70 years from the first wave when I came, we're almost there. Like, we're so close. Mm-hmm. And so I just imagine him just getting so happy and overjoyed that God is about to do this thing, and he just bangs down heaven's door, you know. And I think that part of the connection for me was how is Scripture informing my prayer life?
That's good.
Because, that's a good question to ask.
Because it certainly did for Daniel. He certainly was a student of the Scriptures, and I think too, this was something that didn't come out in the sermon, but just in the study. Just because you're not a preacher, or like Daniel for a while, I think my wife Sasha told me this one, Daniel wasn't called a prophet till Jesus called him a prophet. Like Daniel wasn't a prophet like Ezekiel. He wasn't a prophet like Isaiah, but he could have been. Mm-hmm. Like he had all these, but he was a politician, right? Yeah. And so, but even in his secular job, he was so in tune with the Scriptures, with God, with his faith. And so it's an encouragement to everybody as a professional. Like, you don't have to be a pastor to be amazing at what you do and point people to the Lord.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I've gone on several different tangents, but Jeremiah 29, that letter to the captives, it's often really misquoted. You know, I know the plans I have for you. Certainly God has plans for us, but we can sometimes take that out of context. That was in the letter to the captives, and God says, I have plans for you to bring you back from Babylon and the captivity and bring you back home. And it's really, my plans for you is so people around see my glory again.
Yeah,
so.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Love that. That is Daniel's God. And the next question you asked is, who is Daniel? And 3 points that you talked through that I thought were just super great. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of prayer, and he was a man of consistency. I want to kind of spend a little bit of time starting to think a little bit practically, just asking, how did Daniel model those things? And certainly we've addressed that a little bit in our conversation so far. But how did he model those things? How can we do the same thing just as we live out our lives in our jobs and in our relationships in today's world? So let's start with the first one. Daniel was a man of integrity. There's no doubt about that. They could not find any thing against him. How did he model that integrity? How did he get to that point? And then how can we do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the really simple definition is he was the same person all the time, in public, in private. And so I think what we do to do the same thing is just we need to be the same wherever we are. So whether that's online, in the locker room, in the lobby. One note I put here was we could even practice confession, like talk to some of the closest people to us and say, hey, I'm struggling because around my conservative friends, I talk really conservative, and around other people, I talk really liberal, and I'm two different people. Or the persona I put up on social media is that I have it together, but I really don't. And you're just living two different lives. And I mean, just the strict definition of integrity is just you're one, you know? Yeah. And so those are a couple thoughts I have. Adam, you,
I'm trying to remember who it is. I think it's, I can't remember if you used the word integrity or character, but I think it was John Wooden that talked about how, you know, character is who you are when nobody's looking, or integrity is who you are when nobody's looking. And so,
yeah. Are you going to wash your hands in the bathroom if no one else is there?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do you remember the Far Side? Do you know Far Side cartoons? Oh my gosh. All right. So there are these like comic cartoons. They're fantastic, man.
The newspaper. There's a
no, I know.
Newspaper.
It's like
you know what a newspaper is. You know what a newspaper is.
Yeah,
what you'd wrap your birthday present.
Paper mache or whatever.
So there's a Far Side cartoon of a guy walking out of the bathroom, and a big light shines that goes off above the door. It says, "Didn't wash hands."
That's great.
And so that is that's what keeps me washing my hands, even if I'm the only one in there. Because like, man, what if there is one of those sirens that goes off?
That would be great.
So, but yeah, so in terms of integrity and the, you know, just who we are, I think that, you know, you go to the words of Jesus. I think the simplest one is just let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say you're going to do something, do something and, follow through, you know, with that. And, you know, just doing that one little thing, takes us miles down the road whenever it comes to
that. Some of the practical things I think of, some of these made it into the message, but just like showing up to work on time, you know, working while you're there and not partaking in this fad of quiet quitting that where you're just you're there, but you're not really there.
Yeah.
You know, gossiping, but you're masking it as a prayer request. Some of those things would indicate you're not a person of integrity. You're living two different kinds of lives.
Yeah. Or the gossiping, not just masking it as a prayer request, but, well, you're a safe person and I just need to vent.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You know, you need to go talk to the person you have a problem with.
So here is a John Wooden quote on this. He said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
So it's just about developing, you know, our inner life.
Yeah, I love that. I also love the quote that you had here, Josh, that you've heard it said in a prayer before. Lord, don't let my talent take me where my mm-hmm. character can't keep me.
Yes.
There's no doubt, looking at the story, that Daniel's talented. He's a really incredible, great leader. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's sharp. He had to be in order to stay in kind of the position he had through at least three kings and two empires and all that sort of stuff. So he's talented, but he had the character to hold him there, mm-hmm. Which I thought was just so cool. And something for us to think about is, too, there's nothing wrong with being talented, but
no.
Is our talent taking us to where our character can't keep us? And if so, we might need to slow down a little bit and develop the character first.
Absolutely. So this is a tangent thought, but I think it's Psalm 78, verse like 74. It's at the very end of the psalm, and it talks about how David led them with a, it's either true heart, pure heart. There's some adjective right in front of the word heart.
Yeah.
And skillful hands.
Yep.
And so it's the order. It's heart first, then skill second.
Yep.
And that's what this is. It is developing character. It's more important to develop our character than it is to develop our skills, even though we need to develop our skills.
Yeah. Yep. Love it. Second thing, Daniel was a man of prayer. I think that we'll probably hit the word rhythms here, but how did he model that, and how can we kind of do the same thing?
Well, so I looked. One of the things that was fun to do was to look through all of the book of Daniel and just look at how and when he was praying and who he invited to pray with him. So chapter 2, he invited his friends. There was times he was praying that he was fasting, but the content of his prayer, he was praising God, he was giving thanksgiving. He was confessing his sins and the sins of his nation. His posture of prayer, it was kneeling, like his knees hit the floor.
Yeah.
And the scriptures, too. The scriptures led him to pray. There was the Jeremiah 29 letter that he found. And so I started to ask all those, look at all those things and just say, man, how can I do the same thing? Like, I can invite friends, I can fast, I can model thanksgiving and confession. And I did write the word rhythms down. Just having a same, like a set time and place certainly helps, of course, along with just pray continually throughout the day and things like that. But having a set time and place also just reminds you of that. So, mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Love that. Adam, any extra thoughts?
No, I think that's just fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Love that. And the illustration that you used as well from Jim Collins' book, Built to Last, The Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal, BHAG. We've mentioned that on the podcast because that's where I learned about the BHAG.
Yeah.
You added switched the G and P, BHAP, Big, Hairy, Audacious Prayer for Daniel. That's what he was praying, a big, hairy, audacious prayer. Just a kind of a question to give us some insight as far as BHAPs go. Like what over the course of your years has been a BHAP of your own? Walk with Jesus.
Yeah. I think children, for me, are always at the top. So things like that, their own character, their own, and even just to put some numbers on it, you kind of look at the trajectory of Daniel, his life, 65 years in Babylon, all that kind of stuff. You can kind of get fun and think about, man, where are my kids going to be in 60 years? And you can start praying for things like your grandkids. Or their spouses and their kids, that they would train them to love and know the Lord as well. So,
you're praying generationally. Mm-hmm. That's pretty hairy and audacious.
Yeah, yeah, and I think is you know whenever it comes to like just even praying for our church, I think a BHAP is that God would do immeasurably more than we could dare to dream or imagine. That He would knock our socks off. That He would blow our minds with what He wants to do and how He wants to accomplish things. You know, if you want to start getting into specifics, you know, it's just like, you know, that everybody in our church would have a successful invite with their one, that we would see, you know, 700 people go through next steps in a year. You know, it's just like, it's kind of just like, these are the things. It's just like, man, God, we would love to see you, you know, have this take place.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. So, and for those of you listening, I would encourage you, if I ask you the question right now, what is a prayer that you are praying that is a big, hairy, audacious prayer, and you're not able to give me one, I would pause the podcast right now and reflect and figure out what it needs to be and start praying that, and then unpause.
Yeah.
Ready, go.
Well, and I even think, too, it's just like, what are you regularly praying for?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a big one.
I think that's just, even if you don't want to, even if they don't necessarily fall under the category of BHAP, you know, like it's two bookmarks because I couldn't fit it on one. And I'm not saying I do these every single day, but they have written out, I think, 15 different just short little prayers.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it says Adam's daily prayer request on there. That, like I said, it doesn't happen every single day, but it's just like, you know, that I would be, that I would have kids who are walking with the Lord. You know, 3 John 4, there's no greater joy that I could have than to know my children are walking in the truth. That we would be a growing church, you know, that he would do immeasurably more than we could dare to dream or hope or imagine. You know, there's like I said, there's like 15 of those.
Yeah.
And it's just, what are you consistently asking God? When you pray, what do you pray about? I think that's a great question.
Yeah. Love that. Josh, I don't know if you've actually ended up talking about this in your sermon real quickly, but in the notes that we're looking at, you suggested an acronym to kind of help people get started. So the acronym being PRAY, P, praise, R, repent, A, ask, Y, yield. Really, really good acronym. So if you're looking to get started on kind of a rhythm, take the word pray and go like that. And if you need another word to remember, then you can go with tacos, thanksgiving, adoration, confession, others, and self. If you need another one, there's acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, fancy word. Are there any others?
Salt. Sorry, ask, love, thanks.
Okay.
I did share the pray, and I do love it because it's actually, if you look at Daniel 9, it is his model, his exact model. He starts with praise. He repents for himself and the nation. He asks that God would send them back because of his glory.
Yeah.
And he even says, not because we deserve it, but because of your great name.
Yep.
And then there's just this implication that he is yielding to God's wisdom.
That's the most powerful line in that little acronym right there is yield.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, prayer was given to us for a lot of reasons, but I think one of the main reasons is so that we can get to a point where we're communing in the presence of God with him in such a way that we do end up yielding and aligning our will with his. And you really see that with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He comes in and he has this certain thing that he wants, but because of the amount of time that he spent in the Father's presence, ends up yielding and saying, well, it's not actually my will that I want to be done, but I want it to be your will. And you see that in Daniel too. Like if Daniel got what he wanted, you know, he would have probably asked for a 5-year forgiveness program and said, I know we're at 65, but you know, could you just do it 65? I know you said 70, but like we're ready now, you know? And yet still he's like, but your will be done. I'm going to yield and trust that you've got us. And so
you can almost say if you're starting with praise correctly, then it's going to be easier to yield.
Yes.
But if you don't start your prayer with praise and you forget the magnitude and the greatness of who God is, it's going to be harder to yield.
Yeah.
Because you don't remember how big and powerful and great and good and loving that God is.
Yeah. Love that. Third point, Daniel was a man of consistency. What are some ways that he modeled that? How can we kind of do the same thing?
Yeah, just real quick. I mean, he just showed up every day, 65 years in a row, both for his employers and for his God. And you think of it like, man, my boss sucks. It's so hard. It's like, did he throw you in a fiery furnace? You know, like, did he threaten you with lions? Did your boss say, not only interpret my dream, tell me what I dreamed, and then interpret it, or I'll kill you.
Yeah,
like, right. Did your boss do that? Daniel's did, and he still showed up. Like, it's just incredible. So, anyway, show up.
Show up. Yeah, love the quote that you had from Eugene Peterson. What Daniel did was long obedience in the same direction. And you brought in a couple of people who demonstrate that line really well. And I just love that we were able to tell a little bit of a story, and Gene and Patsy Knight. Just give me some thoughts about them and what they shared in the video. We were really grateful that they came in to do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I'll talk about the video, and then Adam, I want to hear what you want to say about Mr. Gene, especially, and Patsy too, but, just longtime Corinthians, I guess you could say. And what gets me every time talking to Gene is when he starts talking about this place and his God, he starts getting emotional, and you can see the tears in his eyes and the joy in his heart. And it's just, it's so cool. It's so cool to see that. I loved that they were, like Miss Patsy said, a prayer of hers over the next 5 years is just got to keep seeing those young people, got to keep seeing the babies. We love that. So that was really cool. And then Gene, he just said, just keep the faith, and everything else will work out. Just keep the faith.
Yeah.
And so that was wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah, I've had a chance to serve with Gene for, good grief, I mean,
a long time.
I mean, I think of the, what year is this?
We're in 23.
So in the almost 15 years as senior minister here, he's probably been an elder for at least 12 or 13 of those.
Yeah.
would be my guess, because he only gets a year off, then we always bring him back. And it's always been like that with Gene. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've always appreciated, is just that he has a strong just love for Christ, a love for Christ's church, and wanting to see it just continue to reach people and continue to just impact lives, see lives change. And so he's been here forever. Little known fact about Gene, I don't know if it gets said in the video or not, because I haven't seen it yet. Can't wait to see it. Gene actually is the guy who hung the steeple over the sanctuary when it was built. The dude in the bucket truck doing that. Mm-hmm. And we always joke that Gene is the guy who knows where all the bodies are buried. Because he's been so heavily involved, you know, with the cemetery and those things. And he's just got so much institutional knowledge of this place. And it comes from love.
Yeah.
And a love for, like I said, love for Jesus, love for his church. And so Gene is amazing. Patsy is amazing. Just two of my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah. So. One of the things that I just loved, I was honored and had the pleasure to sit behind the camera as Josh was just asking some of those questions. And so there were certainly some things that, just as they're having a conversation, didn't actually make it into what y'all would have seen yesterday. And I loved that. You know, they started talking about basketball, and Patsy made the comment, like, when she was playing basketball, it was way back whenever the rules were that you didn't cross the half court. Uh-huh. Like, it was basically
only in girls basketball.
Right, in girls.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, wow, to think about that. And I just started thinking about them, and just in regards to Daniel's story as well, which is why you've asked them to sit down with us in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, they have seen so much change in our culture and in our community. And they, rather than being overwhelmed by the change, they trusted that God is sovereign and working things out, and they remained faithful to him. And you think about Daniel, and like we've mentioned, he's multiple kings, a couple of empires, he's seen lots of significant change. And rather than being overwhelmed by the change, he decided, God is sovereign, and I'm going to remain faithful to him. And so I just love Daniel's story. I think that we have two Daniels in Gene and Patsy as well, and so many more, because you throw that word out there, long obedience in the right direction. That is the story of our church long before any of us three showed up.
Yeah.
And it's just so encouraging to be a part of a place like that. And so I want to ask, just super quick, give me maybe a one-liner, if you can. The same questions that Josh, you asked Gene and Patsy, I want to ask the two of you. One-liner, how have you seen God's faithfulness over the years here at this place, Corinth Christian Church?
Oh, gosh. Josh, you get to go first. Got it.
How have I seen his faithfulness in my life or here at Corinth?
Here at Corinth, yeah.
At Corinth. I think... I don't know. I think the word protection kind of rises to the top in the midst of, I mean, it's kind of on my mind with all the Daniel conversation and people in the church world falling out of just with having character, just falling short, you know, and whether it's an affair or whatever, like God has protected us and our staff and our elders. We have had, it's just a joy to serve on a team that likes each other, that's healthy, and that has been protected from that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Oh gosh, how have I seen God's faithfulness?
Yeah.
And I only get...
Yeah, like a, I don't know, 1 minute.
1 minute thing? I'll just say this. I think that the one for me, it's personally, and I think church-wide as well, is that through the succession plan with from Don to myself,
yep.
And just hearing horror stories from other places and failed succession plans, and then just watching how God has worked through that, worked through Don, hopefully worked through me, worked through the leadership here at the church. That was a very tenuous time. I mean, that's transition, succession plans can make or break things.
Yeah.
And God was faithful through that. And so that's, that would probably be the big one for me.
Yeah, I love it. You kind of mentioned some answers to this other question, but just throwing this one out here as well. This same one you asked Mr. Gene and Mrs. Patsy at the end, just what's a prayer that you're praying over our church for the next 5 years? And give us something that, you know, we can be praying as well.
I would say it is that God would do immeasurably more.
Yeah.
That's the thing, that He would blow our minds, that we would, whenever we come to the place to where we are 80 years old, like Daniel, that we're sitting there just going, holy cow, we thought that this is what, you know, was going to be best, but God just completely blew our socks off.
Yeah.
Immeasurably more.
I love that. Love that. Let's get to the bottom line then. Big faith happens one small step at a time. A little bit of moon landing phrase going along with that. So it'll be easy to remember, I hope. Big faith happens one small step at a time, and it's just so true. And love that bottom line. And so encouragement to you guys who are listening. Like, you see the story of Daniel, and you might think, oh my goodness, that is not attainable to be faithful in the midst of that. It really is. And the way that it's attainable is just by taking one small step at a time, being faithful to God in the little things. Over and over and over again, long obedience in the same direction. So the challenge that you gave Josh was just to kneel.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Talk to us a little bit about why you threw out the word kneel there.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know if anyone else remembers this, but this one was for me. Last week's challenge was to stand. That's why I said this week's challenge is going to be to kneel. And whenever I was preparing these two sermons, just looking at them ahead, going, man, there really is just a cool irony that the three boys stood and Daniel kneeled. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can stand for God because we kneel in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really why the challenge was that if you want to be the overachiever, do it three times a day like Daniel did. And it doesn't have to be for 30 minutes. Like, just kneel. Like when your feet hit the floor in the morning, getting out of bed, just kneel real quick. Or before you get back into bed, like kneel real quick. Just as it could be a 30 seconds or as a reminder, like, God, you are on the throne. I am not.
Yeah.
That's all it has to be. And just put yourself in, I guess, submission to Him and see what that does to your perspective throughout the day and the week.
One of the things that I'm just remembering, is, you know, we're talking CIY at the beginning of the week, and Josh, you might have remembered this. I think I was a student. I don't know that I was a volunteer or minister at this point, but there was 1 year where CIY was doing the story of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, our worship services and all that sort of stuff. And every now and then, randomly over the speakers, they would let the sound of a lion's roar over the speakers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that was a cue for everybody in the room to kneel
mm-hmm.
and to just pray mm-hmm. for however long they, you know, programmed it or whatever, which sometimes it was 20 seconds and sometimes it was 2 minutes. And
mm-hmm.
I just remember being younger, in those environments, just in the story of Daniel with the lion's roar, that was the first time I had ever hit my knees to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And it became like such an important part of what that like faithfulness looks like and kneeling and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just now remembering that, thinking about the story of Daniel. It was a cool moment for me and for, I'm sure, everybody else who experienced CIY that year.
So, it's not a guilt trip or anything like that, but just something to say, hey, this week, these next 7 days, just try to kneel every day and see what it does.
Yep.
So.
Well, I think that's, I would go back to Daniel's a man of prayer, and that's how he prayed. And so that's obviously where this is coming from. So I would just say, change your posture.
Yeah.
And so instead of being like, well, I'm just going to pray on the way to work today, just like, no, I'm going to start off, whether it's, the day or in the day, just like literally do your prayer on your knees.
Uh-huh.
It is crazy. I don't do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
But it is crazy. Just it is much easier to focus. How about that? I'll just tell you that.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. All right, we're going to wrap up with something fun today. Daniel in the Lion's Den is the story, so we're going to do a little game called Lion or Lion, and that is L-I-O-N or L-Y-I-N apostrophe. It's true or false. So is it true about a lion or is it false about a lion? Lion or lion? Question number one. A lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away. Lion, true. Or lion, false.
False.
I'll say true.
It is true.
Ooh,
yes, a lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away.
Did you know what's the MGM, the movie company that has a lion roar?
Yeah.
That's actually a tiger's roar.
Mm.
That they
interesting.
Put, and the lion roars, but it's actually a tiger's roar.
So we're doing some lion quizzes right now. And basically this quiz is just going to make lions seem super awesome.
Well, they are.
And powerful because they are. Tigers are actually stronger, faster, louder. They are, they're solo.
Yeah.
They're like, they fly more solo. And so they're not as strong as the pride together, but tigers are. They're nice.
They're nuts.
They're cool. All right, next one. Lions can leap as far as 25 feet.
False. Yes, true.
It is false.
Man.
Because they can leap up to 36 feet.
Ah, so, one of those tricky trues or false.
Yeah, it was a tricky one. Gotcha.
Yeah. Because technically it is true.
Oh, up to. Okay, you got me.
Yeah.
Up to 36 feet.
All right.
Which, for those of you who have a bingo card out and it's Luke is mentioning disc golf, here it is. 33 feet is the edge of the circle, which is what disc golf would call basically the green, right?
Mm.
And I can't even make a putt from 33 feet, but a lion can jump from where I'm putting it and land on the basket.
33 feet, isn't that about 10 yards from like for our football?
Yards. 11 yards.
11 yards, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Next one, male lions hunt, female lions care for the young and eat first.
False.
So... males hunt.
Females care for the young and eat first.
I'm going to say false, too.
It is false, yeah. So if you've watched any documentary on that one.
The females hunt.
The females hunt and the males eat first. Lions can run up to 50 miles per hour.
False.
Got to get back in the game. We got to risk it.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Lions can run up to 50 miles per hour. So they would be speeding on 81 going by youth middle school.
But for how long?
For how long can they do that? I imagine not long.
Because I can run up to 50 miles an hour.
Sure.
On that first step or so.
Make sure it didn't happen. A lion's mane gets lighter with age.
In color or in weight?
Yeah, like lighter in color.
Okay, I'm going to say false.
True.
It is false. The mane gets darker with age.
All right.
So if you see a super dark.
Okay.
That's an older, older lion.
There you go.
The king of the jungle doesn't actually live in the jungles.
True. He lives in the African
Sahari.
Grass in the plains. That one's an easy one. True. Lions sleep up to 20 hours a day.
True.
False.
True.
Ah.
20 hours a day. So if you ever felt like a lion was your spirit animal.
There you go.
There you go. Lions are the largest cats in the world.
False.
True.
It's false because tigers, as we've mentioned, are the largest cats.
Oh, I wouldn't even pay attention, man.
When lions and tigers breed, they make ligers.
True.
Have you seen Napoleon Dynamite? True.
This says it's true. They are also called Tigons.
Liger is better.
Liger is way better. And yes, Napoleon Dynamite is the reference you need to get. Lions are the greatest animal threat to humans in Africa.
False.
False.
Do you know who it is? What is?
Is it hippos?
It is hippos. Mm. Hippos cause the most human fatalities. That has been Lion or Lion. You guys did a great job. Those are the things that Daniel was in the den with, but God shut their mouths because he was faithful to his servant. And he'll be faithful to us too.
Yeah. No fun prayer, my wife lately.
Yeah.
That God would shut her mouth. I'm not trying to make a joke or anything, but she's like trying to listen more. And so she says that I've prayed regularly that God would shut my mouth like he did the mouth of the lion.
That's not a bad prayer.
No, it's not. A lot of us could learn that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the whole joke I've heard you and Jennifer talk about as well. It's like, you know, people always give you credit for the things that you say that are positive.
Yes.
They don't give you credit for the things that you don't say that would have been negative.
Yeah, I always say it's the things that I don't say that send me to hell. So
yeah, there you go. Hey, it's been a really, really fun one. Next week, Josh and I will be out, but Adam has promised a podcast.
Yep.
So whether that be him,
I don't know, a special guest. I don't know.
So be ready and be excited.
Yeah.
And
it'll be an hour and a half monologue because I started reading The Fellowship of the Ring. Like I'm trying to do it again.
Oh, really? All right.
And
cool.
So it's going to be an hour and a half monologue on why Tom Bombadil is stupid.
Okay.
Ooh. My wife will not like that. Have you told Jeremy about this? Because he'll talk your head off.
If you're talking Lord of the Rings, there's your special guest right there, Mr. Carnes.
Well, he's going to be out of town too. So.
Oh, what a guy.
So it's just going to be me. No, I can guarantee you it will not be an hour and a half monologue on Lord of the Rings. Guaranteed.
All right.
On that.
So you don't like Tom though, huh?
He sings too much.
Well, yeah.
So the reason you don't like him is because he sings too much.
Yeah, because it's just like, just say what you mean, man. You don't have to sing it. I don't need a poem. Just tell me what's going on.
You know, Aslan sang the world into existence in the Chronicles.
That's fine.
Well.
That's Aslan. He's not Tom.
Tom is like the
Tom
first.
The
he's not the creator of the world, but he's like the first.
Yeah, whatever.
He's
a
pretty powerful character.
Aslan's much cooler than...
Well, yeah, that's true.
Hot take.
Aslan is God.
Chronicles of Narnia is better than Fellowship, or the Lord of the Rings.
The book.
Different audiences.
The books, The movies, no.
Oh, 100% on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways... All right, go read some Lord of the Rings and Narnia, and we will see you for whatever week it is of Retold next Sunday. What's the story that we're preaching?
So let me see. So we're talking the Sunday after Josh just
preached. Yeah.
So we'll be doing Zacchaeus. July 9th.
The New Testament now.
All right.
Wee little man was he?
Yep.
Cool.
Good stuff. All right, we will see you for Zacchaeus on Sunday morning, and then back in your car for whatever Adam's got planned for you on Monday morning. Have a great week. Peace and grace. We'll